Welcome to our sermon series entitled The Core. The Bible can be an overwhelmingly long book, but in this sermon series we will examine the five most important books in the Old Testament and the five most important books in the New Testament. Clear thinking about these 10 books will make it easier for you to understand the entire Bible. Today's sermon title, Leadership God Will and Won't Bless. Open your Bible to 1 and 2 Samuel. And let's begin.
Thanks, brother. Go ahead and take a seat, church, and would you bow your head in prayer with me? Father, we just thank you again. We thank you for all that you've done. We thank you for all that you are, Lord. You are great. And Lord, it is a joy to sing about your majesty and your greatness this morning. And now, Father, I pray your presence would strengthen us, your presence would prepare us, and Father, you would lead us toward your purpose as a people and as a church. We ask this in Jesus' great name. Amen. Well, I want to share with you just kind of a message that's been on my heart, and I think maybe will help us as we make this big transition. We launch into this adventure of faith. And some time ago, I read a quote that really spoke powerfully to me, and I want to share it with you. It's by Ralph Waldo Emerson. And he said this: God will not have his work made manifest through cowards. Isn't that an interesting quote? When I first read it, my first reaction was, I think that's true. Because if you've tried to really follow God, often the battle is fear. And really, if you try to do anything meaningful and worthy with your life, there is a constant battle of fear that you have to keep going up against. Can I get an amen on that? And so I realized this seems true to me. But then the second thing when I read it that I felt was that whole cowards part, and I was like, well, this is bad news for me. God will not manage, because so many times I feel myself afraid and intimidated and overwhelmed. And you know, if I'm honest, fear is always kind of been part of my journey. I hate scary movies. I won't watch them because I won't sleep for like a week. When my older brother tortured me, he made me watch The Shining when I was like 6. Yeah, I didn't sleep till I was 9. So I'm just kind of ruined on that front. Sarah, can you turn me down a little bit? I'm just insecure about my loudness. But I realized being a coward doesn't mean you're not afraid. It just means you're afraid you do it anyway, right? Being a coward means you're afraid and it stops you. But what I realize is that the people that God uses powerfully are people, they feel all that, but they say, but I'm still going to take the next right step. They feel the overwhelmingness, but they say, but as difficult as that is, God is on the other side of this, and they keep moving forward. And so I want to encourage you today and challenge us to embrace this idea and to walk courageously with God as we take a step into the future. And here's the big idea today. It's going to tie with the story I'm going to read to you. But I want to talk about getting off the hill. Say the hill with me. Get off the hill. Get into the fight and put the enemy on the run. Get off the hill, get into the fight, and put the enemy on the run. Those are the three things we're going to talk about today. And I want to look at this from the story of 1 Samuel 17. It's page 239 in the Bibles around you. It is one of the most famous stories in all the scripture. It's a story of David and Goliath. Most of us, we're familiar with the story. Even if you've never read it from the scriptures, you've probably heard people talk about David and Goliath in all different kinds of contexts. But today we're going to dig into this story, and here's how it starts. Saul and the Israelites, and Saul was the king, he was the leader of the Israelites at this time, they assembled and camped in the Valley of Elah and drew up their battle line to meet the Philistines. So the Israelites and the Philistines were constant enemies. They didn't like each other. It's like Michigan and Ohio State fans. They don't get along. And so they kind of things got hostile, and they drew up to fight each other. And the Philistines occupied one hill, and the Israelites another. So where are they both? On the hill. So both armies are on the hill, and there's a valley between them. And they're at a standoff, because whoever goes down the hill then has to fight going up a hill, right? And that's you know, you're losing some of your tactical advantage there. And so no one wants to move. And there's this valley between them, and they're just waiting, and they're anticipating, and they're just staying on the hill. And I thought that is a good picture of how we approach life sometimes. I think sometimes in life, we stay on the hill when we should go into the valley. And the reason is because the hill is safe. The hill's comfortable, right? The Israelites are digging in there because they know, hey, let them come to us. Because if they come to us, we can throw rocks at them, we can throw our spears at them, and they have to make their way uphill and fight. But we're safe here. We're not putting our necks out. We don't have to take any risk or anything like that. And so there's always a great temptation in life to stay on the hill. You with me on this? And this is true personally just as much as a church, right? It's easy in life to stay in our comfort zone, to stay in what we know, to avoid risks that maybe we should take because the hill just feels safe. But here's the problem with the hill. There's never any great victory won on the hill. God's purpose is never going to be accomplished through your life when you're reclining in the Lazy Boy. It's not going to happen, right? When you're eating zebra cakes and ho-hos and saying, God, use my life powerfully. And he's saying, put down the zebra cake and let's go do something. And you're like, but Lord, it tastes so good. It tastes so good. No great victories are ever won. I don't know why everything comes back to food with me. I'm sorry. Yeah. Yes. Yes, exactly. But no great victories are ever won on the hill. Because on the hill, it's true, you stay safe, but that's all that happens. And the problem, again, with the hill is victories aren't won, and no one becomes the man or woman God has created them to be on the hill. When you look back at your life, and I look back at my life, probably the times that were most rewarding to us is when we took a step of courage. When we did something we didn't think we could do. When we pursued an opportunity that felt bigger than us and beyond us. Where we took a step of obedience with God that scared us. But we took it anyway. Because those are the times that transform us. You with me on this, church? But guess what? You can't do that on the hill. But here's what does happen on the hill. On the hill, you get taunted. On the hill, your fear, your insecurity, it grows. Even though you're safe, you begin to feel even less safe on the hill. And here's what happens in this story. A man named Goliath, he kind of comes down. There's a stalemate, and he says, all right, well, we will settle this the old-fashioned way. I'm the best warrior on this side. And the scriptures tell us that this dude was one fierce-looking guy. He was big. He was hairy. I don't know about that part, but that's just how I like to picture him. He was ugly. Yeah, he smelled bad. And he was just right down in there. And everybody looked at him, and probably his reputation preceded him. And he said, all right, I'm the best guy. Send your best guy. Whoever wins, we'll call it a day and save each other a lot of time. And so, you know, when you see a guy like that step down, everybody else takes a step back. I don't want. And then you nudge your buddy. He's like, no, I wasn't volunteering. And so what does he do? No one comes down. So he begins to taunt them. He begins to talk smack. He begins to just call them out. And he goes down there and he's going, "Go Steelers!" That's what he said. "Go Blue!" He's defying the armies of Israel, defying the Lord. And he says, "Give me a man, let us fight each other." And on hearing the Philistines' words, Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. What happened? They just began to lose whatever courage that they had. Because when you stay on the hill, that's what happens. You just get more scared. You get more stuck. And haven't you noticed in life that sometimes the more you avoid the thing that you should do, the harder it becomes to take that step. The longer that you wait, the more that the hill begins to feel like home, and where God is calling you just feels so difficult to take that step. And so Goliath taunts, and the people become discouraged. And it goes on for 40 days. He came forward every morning and did this. And imagine if you're Israel and you're just sitting there and you know no one is going to go. And imagine being there at like day 37. Be like, "Well, yep, it's 10:50. Here comes Goliath talking about Michigan, talking about the Steelers, calling us out." That would be discouraging. And that's what happened. And so I want to say there are times where God calls us as people and God calls us as a church and he says, "Get off the hill. It's time for a new season. It's time to go into the valley. It's time to get into the fight." And while this goes on, finally day 40, there is a young man that overhears it. Anyone know his name? David. And David hears it. And David, at this point, he's not part of the army, but he is just bringing his brothers a great meal. They've been eating MREs for 40 days. So he's bringing them Mr. Hero. Waffle fries, cheese sauce. They're really excited. He's just kind of boosting morale a little bit. And he hears this. And he says, "Man, this isn't right. Like, why are we letting this guy run his mouth like that? Why is no one going down there? We're the people of God. The Lord is with us. Somebody's got to do something about this guy." And so word spreads that David's kind of talking like that. And eventually, guess what happens when you begin talking like that? Everybody says, "Well, you go then," right? Great idea. That's what I do at the church. "Hey, Chet, we should do this. Hey, how about you be in charge of that and go do it," right? You got to be careful where you throw ideas out. And David throw this idea and finally say, "All right, David, will you go?" And guess what? He goes. He gets off the hill. The last guy you would expect, right? The guy, he's not coming in with the sword. He's coming in with a steak-em. He's coming in with a sandwich. And he's the one that actually gets into the fight. Because David knew something. He believed something that apparently no one else did. And let's see what it was. So he goes before Goliath, and this is what he says to him. "This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I will strike down and cut off your head." Whoa. That's some boldness right there. "Not only that, this very day I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds of the air and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel." Goliath, "I'll cut your head off and all your ugly buddies. I'm going to feed them to these nice little birds flying around." This dude, he's got a little fire in his gut. "And all those gathered there will know that it's not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's." Say that phrase with me. The battle is the Lord's. That's the key right there. The battle is the Lord's. "And he will give all of you into our hands." And I want to say that phrase right there is what made David different. The battle is the Lord's. David, this fight isn't actually yours. It's God's. And there was something in him that believed that in a real way. There was something in them that gave him the courage. Because I think when you understand that and we buy into that, it changes everything. David, I don't believe he went off of the hill because he was supremely confident in his own abilities. Because let's be honest, Goliath seemed like a handful for anyone. But he went off of the hill because he was confident in the God who was with him. And he realized that at the end of the day, the Lord is with me, and he's going to win this fight. I just need to show up. That's our responsibility. David said, the battle is the Lord's, but I just got to get off the hill. The battle is the Lord's. I just have to be present in the fight. I just have to take a step from here to there and trust that God is going to control the outcome and God is going to be glorified. And I just want you to know the battle in our lives is always the Lord's. It's always the Lord's. And the reality is that the power of evil is not in its strength, but the power of evil is in its ability to make us afraid and to intimidate us into inaction. That's what the power of evil is. The power of Goliath was not in his physical strength. The power that he had over those people was an intimidation. And finally, David said, I see you're big, strong, and ugly, but I also know that there is a God who is infinitely greater than you. And he knows my name, and he's called me, and he will be with me, and this battle is his. And that was David's strength. And I want you to know today that every battle in our life, Christ has already won. You know, 2,000 years ago, when Jesus Christ went to the cross, when he died and he rose again, he defeated all of the Goliaths in this world. He killed the Goliath of sin. Your sin is forgiven. God doesn't hold it against you anymore. You are clean in his sight. You are perfectly beloved. And whether you know it or not, that's the biggest Goliath that you and I will ever face. He killed the Goliath of death. Death is overcome. We spend eternity with God. And he overcame the Goliath of evil. Evil has been disarmed. He already has won the victories for us. And we can show up to the struggles before us in life, knowing that the battle is the Lord's. And he's taking care of it. And we just have to be present to claim that victory. We just have to go into the valley. And I wonder in life, how many victories have been forfeited because we stayed on the hill? That's what I wonder. That's what pushes me about this story. How much more does God want to do in the world? Where he's like, church, I have people I want to reach. I have needs I want to meet. And I'll give you the resources. I'll meet you there. But you got to get off the hill. How many times in life have we been so terrified about the anticipation of something? And then we experience the event and you were like, why did I give myself a stomach ache for 6 days before this? This wasn't that big of a deal. Anybody with me or am I the only crazy person in this room this morning? That tortures himself. The battle is the Lord's. And what victories are ahead if the people of God would get off the hill? What victories could be claimed if the people of God believe that the way that David did? And we said, man, we are going to take steps of courage and faith because we know God has gone before us. We know that God is with us. We know God is fighting for us. And we just need to show up. You with me on this, church? Get into the fight. And then here's the last part, on the run. Look what happens when David gets in the fight. He goes, he whips a stone at Goliath's head and kills him. Goliath falls down, and he cuts off his head, just like he said. And when the Philistines saw their hero was dead, they turned, and say that with me, and ran. They turned, and they ran. And then the men of Israel and Judah surged forward with a shout and pursued the Philistines to the entrance of Gath and to the gates of Ekron. They turned and they ran because they looked and they said, if that's what their shepherd boys can do, what can the real soldiers do? What can their chaplains do? I mean, Holy cow, we better get out of here. Amen. Anyway, they turned and they ran because one person with faith can change the whole tide of a multitude of people. One person, that's just David. One person with faith. And here's the reality of this story. I believe God would have used anyone. This story isn't about David. This story is about God. Anyone who stepped forward, God would have used. He used David in his unique way with the sling and the stone, but he would have used someone else in their unique way. Because when one person of faith steps forward, it inspires others. The whole army says, all right, I guess we can get off the hill and into the fight. And they went after the enemy. And I just wonder, man, what happens when a whole church is filled with faith? Could that be a beautiful thing in this world? What happens when the people of God say, man, we don't just want to do Sunday after Sunday. We want to put evil on the run in this world. I don't know about you. I don't want to play church. I want to be the church. I don't want to just talk about how great God is. I want to live a life that demonstrates how great God is. You with me on this? I don't want to talk to other people about faith. I want to live a life of great faith. And I want to put evil on the run in this world. I want to put lostness on the run. There are so many people in our world that are lost and they are far from God. And I want to be the type of church that says, we are going to reach out to you and we're going to help you see the excellence of Jesus Christ. And we're going to put lostness on the run. We're going to say, we're going to open up our doors. We're going to create more room for you. We're going to invite you. We're going to pray for you. We're going to put lostness on the run. I want to put just selfishness and immaturity on the run. And I want to be the kind of church that says, we are going to serve our world. We don't exist for ourselves, but we exist to meet the needs of the world outside of these walls. And we're going to be the type of followers of Christ that get beyond ourselves and into serving other people's lives. You with me on this, church? I want to be the type of church, man, that just puts the brokenness and abuse that happens in kids' lives and families. I want to put that on the run. And I'll say, we're going to be a place where you can find healing. We're going to be a place where we're going to love kids with the full power of Jesus Christ and be an influence that can change them for the rest of their lives. And we're going to put this brokenness on the run. There's a lot of evil we can put on the run as a church. There's a lot of evil. But we won't put it on the run until we get off the hill and get into the fight. And you know what? We're doing that. We're doing that. And I'm proud to be part of a church that's doing it. We're taking this step because we're getting off the hill. We're saying, God, we know there's more. God, we know you can use us. We're going to continue to step forward in faith, and we're going to trust that you've already won the battles. We just need to show up, and we're going to put evil on the run. We're going to storm the gates of hell with super soakers. I used to love those things. I don't know if they still make them or not. We're going to put evil on the run because I think, number one, what better way to glorify God, church? What better way to glorify God? And what better way to be the people he has called us to be? David became David because he stepped into this moment. And we get to become who God calls us to be because we step into these moments of faith and courage. And let's do it together. You with me on this, church? The battle is the Lord's. I want to show you one story this morning to end this about, I think, an amazing woman of faith in our church that is just living this out in a way that inspires me, and I think it'll inspire you. So I want you to see her story. Church, God has been so good to us, and it's been such an exciting point to get here. And now I cannot wait to see what God does as we take this step of faith. Let's go in like David. Let's fight the good fight, and let's see the great work that the Lord does. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you so much for these great people. Thank you, Lord, just for every moment that we've had together. Thank you for your grace and your power and your mercy that's met us every step of the way. And now, Lord, I pray that you would just prepare us. You would fill us with your faith, with your presence, with a sense of your strength, with a sense of your calling, with a sense of your direction. And Father, I pray that you would use us powerfully in this next journey of our church's life. And I pray, Father, we could look back at this moment and we could see your hand so clearly in hindsight, and we could see the harvest and the fruit that you used through the faith that has been planted here this morning. And I pray your grace and your blessing on all this. In Jesus' good name, amen.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information about Christ Church, check us out on the web at christchurchohio.org. If we can be of any help to you, call us at 440-236-8282. Until next time, blessings to you.